Welcome to SV Pod. This is history. Rockhold, this is the first road show, isn't it?
This is your first remote. How's it going?
Not well. Mic issues. I'm in a cabin. I feel like it's very echoey. No Stanford Steve. Like, I'm solo. I'm not solo. I got you.
Yes. Steve's got three girls. So more important things being taken care of right now.
Yeah. And we want no part of that. We want no part of him going, why are you crying?
I can only imagine if he tried to just let them handle each other and try to tape a podcast, his wife might kill him. So,
yeah. Like Paw Patrol, it only works for so long. You know,
one of the iPads will die and then
bingo
breaks loose.
How do you know that? How does single Rockhold without kids know? The worst part of any afternoon is when Charlie comes running to me with the iPad going, Sam's iPad is dead. And I in that moment, all I think is, why the f- don't we charge the iPads every single night? We know we're going to have iPad time. They have to be 100% juiced. Why isn't that the like on the list of most important things any parent with small children does? Right underneath keeping them alive is keeping the iPads alive. And if they're not alive, then you got Charlie, and now he's livid because he doesn't want he wants Sam's iPad, not his iPad. So anyway, no Stanford Steve because he's got the girls. Shout out to the Coughlin girls. Shout out to Stanford Steve. But we are on the road and we are here in Kiowa at the Ocean Course PGA Championship week. And let me tell you about this golf course. Walked it today. It's really, really difficult. If the wind is going to blow like it did today. I went on the No Laying Up podcast. Big fans of those guys. They do an excellent job. And there was a question that they had. I don't know if it made the podcast or not, but there was a question, I guess, one of their emailers asked, like, winning score 10 under. And I'm just telling you, if it's anything like today, I don't believe 10 under exists on this golf course. Having said that, the wind is the great equalizer out here. It's the great sort of defense that the golf course has got, and it might not blow like this. The thought is that it will change directions throughout the week, but on this particular Tuesday, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, the closing stretch of holes are all dead into the wind, and they are like the 14th is a par three. It's like 240. Good luck with that. It's like a 608-yard hole. The 18th's 500 and something, and you're dead into the teeth, like dead into the teeth. Now, it could turn around on Sunday and be at your back. That's fine. But then the nine holes you played downwind today are the holes that will be into the teeth there. But I'll be honest, I'd much rather play 14 through 18 downwind Sunday than into the wind. Because as Justin Thomas told me, there is not a lead you could possibly have that you would feel comfortable with playing those holes because you could make a big number on any one of those holes. I mentioned Justin Thomas, the top players in the world on this Tuesday as we talk. First ever road show, SV Pod. No big deal. Just in a trailer, dusty compound. I wish you guys could see it.
Do they have beverages in the media center there, like Augusta? Because that's what I would, you know, that's my area of expertise.
Now, when you say beverages, what you need to know about Rockhold is when I recorded with Marty on the Four Please Now Driving podcast, Rockhold's just slamming beers, just crushing beers. He's like the guy you see, one of the people you see leaving the grounds with like eight beer cups and he's like 12 cold beers into his day. That's not true.
As I told Marty, though, the ones in the media center, they're like 8 ounces, so they don't really count.
Right, and you're from Columbus. You're an Ohio State fan. So like an 8-ounce beer, what is that even? You need like 14 of those to just get yourself back to square one.
I think your tweet, though, this afternoon, for people that aren't big golf people, fully explains what the golf course is like. You said walking it now, yep, there's some rough, sticky, interesting consistency, thick as Marty Smith's hair.
That's what it looks like. And I guess, again, the No Laying Up guys, apparently a couple weeks ago, there wasn't rough, and now there is rough, and there's in this super inside the Beltway golf circles, there's some concern maybe about like whether that makes sense to have that rough. I don't know whether they should or they shouldn't. I just know that they do. And it's again, like it's a strange consistency. Like it's not like grass in your yard that feels like kind of soft underfoot and bends. Like it feels, I don't know, it's sticky. It's hard to explain it, but it's like Marty Smith's hair, like dense volume. By the way, Marty Smith's hair today, God, it's magnificent. And it just, I stare at it. And granted, I mean, as we know, like I'm bald. Every now and then people will tell me that, hey, baldy, like no shit. Like you think I don't, I have mirrors. I understand. Like, but that's like not an insult. I get it. That's like saying you're tall. I know that I'm tall.
You've been embracing the baldness for a while. It's not like
for years I'm bald. But when I look at Marty Smith's hair, I'm like, man, that'd be so much fun to wake up every day and put some Dapper Dan in there. Some pomade, just some product. And you would, let me tell you what, you would need to put some like, what's it called? Cabin John, is that the name of the syrup? What am I doing? What's the name of the syrup? Come on. I'm going to Google it right now. Is there syrup called Cabin John? Cabin John syrup. If I'm making this up.
There's a log cabin.
Log cabin. Jesus Christ. Cabin John. Cabin John is where I live in Maryland. What's wrong? Like, log cabin. You know this is. You know what's happening, America. You're watching your favorite guy just become old and feeble right in front of you. Cabin John. I just referenced a very specific area,
Montgomery County,
where I live, and I made Cabin John the syrup. It is decidedly not a syrup. Log cabin is, and Marty looks like he puts log cabin syrup in his hair, and he better, because if the wind's going to blow, like it's even going to move Marty's hair.
No, see, his hair will, that'll be the true test, I think, to let people know if it's windy. If his hair is moving, it is bad out.
It is. And today it would have been flapping because it was kicking in the wind. I know John McGinnis, who's going to be part of our coverage, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, mentioned being with Sergio Garcia today and walking about nine holes and saying that Sergio commented that, look, if it's going to blow like this, like plus winds. So I think there's a natural tendency to overreact on a Tuesday to the conditions that you see and think, wow, man, if it's like this, well, I mean, Thursday's a long way off and Sunday's further off than that. So the thing about a major is that, you know, each round is paid attention to in much closer detail than a regular PGA Tour event. And it's like a four-act play. And so things change drastically. And also with the Thursday-Friday bit, you get the opportunity with the draw to find out someone that goes out. Say the wind dies on a Thursday afternoon. You go out late Thursday, shoot a decent score, go out first thing in the morning Friday. You get a chance to go late early, post a number, sit back, and maybe the wind starts blowing Friday afternoon, and half the field can get screwed in a major just because of the draw. Once you get to the weekend, then it's a very different deal because all of the very best players, at least all the best scores, rather, are going out packed together at the back end of the start times. But just, again, on a Tuesday, on a day like this where it blew the way it did, it makes you think that big numbers and high scores are very, very possible. The caveat being, if the wind dies, it's very, very different. Now, it's one thing for me to paraphrase what JT told me about the stretch or tell you that it's difficult, but the best players in the world, we're talking on this Tuesday, including Rory, who has got a win since the last major championship and won going away the last time we were here. Here's some of the thoughts of the challenge and the difficulty here at Kiowa this week for the PGA Championship on the Ocean Course.
It's a really tough test, especially when the wind's blowing like this. Those last few holes out there are brutal, and it's going to be a great test. And but yeah, look, I've maybe got some better memories and better vibes here than most of the other guys do, and that's obviously nice, but I'm not sure it's going to enable me to play any better, but it is nice to be back.
Here's what Justin Thomas had to say.
it's so difficult about this place, and I'm very, very happy and also fortunate that I came Sunday morning to play, because it's it was totally opposite wind than it's been the last 2 days. So I was able to, I played 18 on Sunday and then played 9 the last 2 days. So I've seen the golf course in two completely opposite winds. So that, I think that's definitely helpful for me who didn't play in 2012. But at the end of the day, you don't know what you're going to get. I mean, when you're this close to the water, you can get it when it just really flips, you know, at the drop of a hat. So you could play a group of holes into the wind, and then it could switch, and you could play the next set of holes into the wind. But it really just, it could be one of those weeks where you could get a late, early, late draw, where it could, one could be great, one could be a lot worse. But at the end of the day, you definitely are going to have to strike your ball solid and consistently to be able to control the flight and the distance to at least keep it on the golf course at some times, but be able to hit fairways and greens.
And now some thoughts from Jordan Spieth.
You kind of got to get some good lines off the tees. The areas to hit them aren't extremely narrow, but controlling your tee shots in the wind with some kind of some awkward looking tee shots, like hitting kind of towards a tree when the fairway looks like it's somewhere else. So that's kind of the gist of what I've heard off the tee. And then a lot of it being a second shot golf course, having to really control your distances from 160 to 220 in the wind, and being able to, you know, hit as many greens as possible with this past Palom. I think getting onto those greens in regulation is going to be very important this week in inevitably windy conditions being on the water.
Brooks Koepka, a two-time PGA champion, feeling better after his knee surgery, which limited him pretty drastically in the Masters. Here's his thoughts on Kiowa.
A lot of options off the tee where maybe driver isn't exactly the play. But if you can fit it up there and not kind of put it in the rough, it's a big advantage. You're going to miss quite a few greens, especially if this wind's blowing. And you could leave yourself some difficult chips around the green, so you got to be real tidy around there. But I really like this golf course. I think it sets up really well for me, and I'm excited.
Had a chance to visit with Tony Finau on the range Monday afternoon. Mostly we talked about the NBA playoffs. He's a massive hoop fan, and talking about his number one seeded Utah Jazz. But he mentioned something that I found interesting that could help the scoring, and that's that these greens, he believes, are the best he's seen all year on the PGA Tour, and his thought was that you'll see a ton of makes inside of 10 feet. Now, that might be for par, because these elevated greens, you're going to see a ton of that. The greens are elevated. You're going to have to be really, really good with your short game, which is why I picked Patrick Reed this week. I think he can trust his short game, and you're going to have to. I was able to walk a couple of holes with Patrick Reed this afternoon, and you know, he mentioned that's going to be something that every player will absolutely have to trust all week long is short game, because these greens are like Pinehurst. People will talk about how it looks like it's like a Lynx course. No, it's not. It looks like a seaside Lynx aesthetically, but a Lynx golf course affords you the opportunity to run golf balls in. You can play it low, play it short, and let it run up 30, 40 yards. Can't do that here. Greens are all elevated like Pinehurst. So it might look like a Lynx course because it's seaside and there's some elements of it aesthetically that look that way, but in no way does it play like that. But Finau again mentioned that inside 10 feet, he thinks you're going to see players make a ton of putts because the greens are so, so good.
Who are some players that fits their game and can excel then with this course?
I really don't know. Cause I mean, when I say, I don't know, normally the style of course will eliminate a lot of players. In other words, there's a certain type of player that you might trust. I would think this week that I think you don't like Reed's not one of the longer guys, but I think that his short game's so good that will help him. Conversely, if you bomb it, well, sure, that's going to help you considerably on holes where you say you're into the wind. But wind only magnifies, like if you're the slightest right to left into the teeth of a wind, suddenly becomes a hard hook. So it can almost be not a detriment. Length is never a detriment, but it's severely mitigated when you're hitting into the wind. And when you're hitting downwind, the problem is you can't stop balls. So that's why I think short game people, players with really good short games are people that I trust this week. We walked a bunch with Paul Casey, who hit it beautifully when we played together, which is always funny. Anytime you walk a practice round, you see a guy like Paul Casey played excellent when we were with him. And I'm like, ooh, Casey might be a nice little guy to put in your pools this week. But he mentioned Leishman, who played pretty well last week at the event, the Byron Nelson, and has played well in major championships. I saw Victor Hovland, walked a few holes with him. This is an incredibly talented young guy who just is fearless, makes a ton of birdies, hits it a mile, and is, you know, he's like 24 years old. It's a joke how talented these young guys are. I would think Morikawa, who won last year, could play well here. I mean, I just don't feel like anyone truly feels eliminated to me just based on the course, which I think makes it as interesting as any type of major you could have, where it feels wide open. And we are from seven bells on ESPN Plus until it's done on ESPN regular. Shout out Kenny Mayne. We love you. We'll miss you. We're on like all day doing golf. And so
I was gonna say from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. ESPN Plus across the board.
Correct.
And then it turns over to ESPN both days. I mean, these next couple of days, Thursday, Friday, for golf people, like, get your stuff done tonight and tomorrow, and
just watch golf. You'll be fine. You can do it later. You can do it next week. Like, whatever you got to do, the TPS reports, you can turn the TPS reports in next week. It'll be fine.
Depending on where you like to throw your money, Leishman, you get 60 to 1.
There you go. Like that. Leishman, worth a flyer, Patrick Reed. Again, it's all the people I walked with, I convinced myself are going to win. Happens every single time. And I think it's a good omen that I saw Patrick Reed after I said I liked Patrick Reed. So that's to me, that's a good omen.
Here's a name I'm interested in. What do you think of Will Zalatoris? Obviously, you know, the big story coming off of Augusta, but now coming into this.
All right. Everyone loves Will Zalatoris. How can you not? All right. For those that don't know, a year ago, he's playing on the Corn Ferry Tour, which in my life has been the Nike Tour, the Hogan Tour, the Web.com Tour, the Buy.com, it's been other things and I'm forgetting them. Nationwide Tour. It's the AAA version of the PGA Tour. And a year ago, that's where he was. Then he played Wingfoot, finished sixth, played Augusta, finished second. And now, like, okay, he plays almost only good golf. If I say fade him, I'm not saying that I don't think he's good. I'm saying I don't think you're going to be in the top 10 every single time you play a major. It's just way too hard to do that. So, I mean, I don't know who didn't enjoy watching him at Augusta, just because this story is so, you can latch onto a story like that and be like, look at this guy. He weighs 110 pounds.
People don't realize how hard it is to win on the tour.
For sure.
To get in the top 10. I mean,
it's so hard to win on any tour because
he now has one win,
and it wasn't a full field. Like, he's top 15 in the world and everyone knows he's awesome and he makes a pile of money, but like, it's hard to win. And these, like, how do I frame this? I don't want the person to get in trouble. Let's just say I saw a person here who wanted to know who's going to win. And I said, well, you know, and he's like, well, we're going to have a bet. And I'm like, okay, not me and him. Just, he said, well, this group of people were going to bet. And I said, do you understand, like, in the Super Bowl, there were two teams and I like Tampa and I got that right. And I liked Baylor in the NCAA championship game. And I got that right. There were two teams. Like, there are 150 some odd people in this. I don't even, like, what's the number? I always get it confused. Each major is a little different. But whatever the number is, I'm supposed to tell you the one guy on Tuesday who's going to win Sunday? Like, if I knew that.
You can't even predict who's going to win the Super Bowl at the start of the year, and that's 32.
Thank you. So it's
156 golfers.
There you go. That's what I said. So it was 100. So, okay. So just now, granted, there's a bunch of club pros. They're not winning. And you can eliminate all but 50. Well, still there's 50 people that, and by the way, 25 or 30 of the guys you just eliminated could absolutely be the first round leader or the halfway leader. Mike Tirico's coined the term leaderboard gravity, which is a perfect description. You know, you could put your name up there on a Thursday, but man, 18 holes is that's one quarter of basketball, you know, or one quarter of football. I mean, at the half, where are you? I mean, by the time Sunday comes around, and again, to Justin Thomas's point, man, you got a two-shot lead when you get to the 14th. If it's blowing 20 into your face, good luck, man. Good luck. This is such a fun golf course because of what I'm describing, that I don't think it eliminates many players, and because the elements could play a significant role in altering who wins, and if not changing who wins, but magnifying the ask and the task that the winner is going to have to sort of navigate. Like it's going to be a lot. And look, when Rory won here in 11, 12, you know, he ran away from the field. So, I mean, I'd be surprised if that happened this year. I'd be very surprised if that happened. So, from a viewing perspective, Rockwell was telling you earlier, we got you from Plus through ESPN regular, basically all day long.
Featured groups. I mean,
the whole bit.
And there's
the
whole bit. Heavyweight groups too that I'm looking forward to watching. So it'll be a fun couple days.
I think so. I mean, you got the major champs together: Morikawa, DeChambeau, and Matsuyama. You got Rory, Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka. You got Rom, Fleetwood, and Patrick Reed. You got Schauffele, Hovland, and Westwood. I could keep going here. All I'm doing is reading names, but there's in all directions, there are big swingers. It's a big boy course. It has the length to be the longest major championship golf course ever played, nearly 7,900 yards. I don't know that they'll play all of that every day. I don't think they can. It's like into this kind of wind, it would be preposterous. You'd never finish. But they do have the ability to stretch out certain holes and play them, you know, all the way back. It's nearly 7,900. I think they'll do a good job. The PGA of America always does in setup. So they've got a hell of a canvas to work with, and so do we. And so we've got a great group. We got all the folks here ready to cover it from start to finish. And we look forward to seeing you guys on Thursday morning. I will be in the chair at 7 bells. Let's just know this: earliest wake up call of the year.
I was just going to say, how are you going to, you're not used to waking up that early.
No, it's grim. It's the kind of deal where you wake up and you've got like Quiet Storm DJ voice. Like
cause you're not used to going to bed early.
Yeah, but see, and it's going to be really difficult this week because you got Caps Bruins on Wednesday night. You got playoffs that are going on, which Caps Bruins. I got Sean McDonough here. I got to walk in and have McDonough bending my ear about the goal they scored late for us overtime. Like, I'm interested in that. Hey, McDonough, go f*** yourself. How about that? Don't beep it. Let it play. Play the drop kicks. So I got Russillo. I got McDonough here heckling me about both the Celtics and the Wizards and the Caps and the Bruins. So I've got nighttime playoff sports. Then I got early wake up call, and I'm a night owl to begin with. So like, and on the way out, here's what I hate this week: getting up early. No, here's what I hate. I don't hate getting up early, but if you're a night owl who doesn't go to bed early and you know you have to get up early, what I hate is when my brain kicks into sleep math and I do if I fall asleep right now, I get 4.5 hours of sleep. Well, the minute you turn your brain on to sleep math, well, now add a half an hour. Now it's a half an hour later. And now it's like, okay, because you probably get on Twitter or something stupid. And
big TikTok fan, aren't you?
I don't know what that is. Just people dancing. I'm glad I'm too old to understand what TikTok is. But what I hate is when you do the sleep math and then you have the worst sleep you'll ever have, because the entire time you're asleep, your brain is never completely off, because you're gonna think, I'm not gonna wake up. And I'm gonna convince myself that it's gonna be, I'm gonna wake up in my bed and it's gonna be 8:25, and I'm gonna be like,
10 missed calls from McQuaid and
oh my God. Yes, McQuaid's called, they're banging on the door, like, Van Pelt, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh man, I could, it was 4, I couldn't fall asleep. I took a Zanny. Is that legal?
At 10 melatonins.
Melatonins are, that's it.
Those are gummies.
I got, you can buy melatonin, that's good.
Melatonin, it's a chewy gummy that I have.
Maybe I'll just take a bunch of melatonin and
take a bunch, please.
A bunch, and I'll drink a bunch of whiskey and be like a deep, deep slumber. Does that sound like the way to get ready for the first round of the PGA Championship?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, the call the next morning would be amazing.
Yeah, right.
See what
I've got whiskey voice, and I'm like slurring because I've still got 70 grams of melatonin in my body.
Sounds like you're at the log cabin last night.
No, I'm good. We'll get whatever sleep we get. We'll be bright eyed and bushy tailed. Like, for the morning, we'll come out like a rocket ship. We'll be going, like, by the middle of the afternoon, when we pass out, like, nice ocean breezes are blowing.
Come on to ESPN primetime.
Yeah, come on ESPN regular. Like, man, Van Pelt seems like he's really lacking energy. That's probably the massive amount of melatonin he took last night, and that hangover that would kill a horse. Never, none of that. We're just, let's go Caps, rock the red. Shout to Stanford Steve and the girls. Shout out to the Log Cabin, Fine Syrup, and Cabin John.
Cabin John.
Where we kind of live, and that's what we got. We look forward to seeing y'all on the TV, and enjoy the PGA Championship. Enjoy your week, and we'll see you back next week, hopefully with Stanford Steve alongside, and back for a week. Well, actually, not a week of SportsCenter. I'll be on for some. You don't care. No one's listening. I just need to say goodbye. We're gonna work on that in 2022. I'm gonna work on my goodbyes, Rockhold. 21's too. It's too far down the road. It's already May.
Pot committed here.
Yeah, 21, 22. That's when I'm just going to be like, okay, goodbye. And that'll be it. Pod's over.